The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We're constantly talking about overseas markets. We're talking about trade. It is a global environment, as you all know now. We're not just the United States sitting over here alone. And so it's really important to understand trade, understand the focus on trade that's going on out there. There are conversations all the time going on in business and government, industry, educational leaders are all focused on global trade. A new survey that's out that's been done by HSBC shows that businesses are very bullish on international trade and overseas expansion. We wanted to talk a little bit about that, so we are fortunate this morning to have Derek Ragland with us. Derek is Executive Vice President of Head of U.S. Middle Market Corporate Banking for HSBC Bank USA. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being with us. Trade's a big thing. I mean, it really drives the economy. What did the survey say? I mean, when you guys did the survey, you guys are pretty much all over the map. You covered a lot of things. Peggy was telling me about the report this morning. She really dove into it, and there's a lot to be said from the report. Can you discuss it with us a little bit?
Yeah, you alluded to it. Trade has a major impact on the U.S. economy, and what we wanted to do was increase that conversation with, as you said, the government, industry, academics, and make sure everyone fully understands the contribution international flow of goods and services has on the U.S. economy. So we commissioned a report, a national one, also dove down into a little deeper into some specific cities like Chicago and San Francisco. But the bottom line is the success of the U.S. economy in large part is a result of the innovation and growth that international companies and international trade fosters. And we believe the U.S. could create 10 million new trade-related jobs over the next 10 years if we continue to pursue pro-trade policies like the trade agreements, investments, and taxation moving forward. So it can have a major impact.
So you say that you guys believe you could create 10 million jobs here in the United States?
Correct. Over the next 10 years, trade-connected jobs.
What kind of jobs are those? I mean, are they good? You know, you hear all the time, you know, the arguments that are bantered around about the quality of jobs that are being created over the last several years. And are these good quality jobs, or do they run the gamut from good ones to so-so ones?
No, they're actually, in general, they're much better jobs than just regular domestic firms. I mean, there's always the exception, but if you look on average, these firms pay 25% more than just a regular domestic firm. International companies, although they represent a relatively small percent of total companies in the U.S., they contribute to 20% of the employment, about 40% of the capital investment that happens, about 70% of research and development happens in these firms. So they do create very strong jobs within the communities, and we're situated all throughout the United States. And I go to many communities around the U.S., talk to clients, and they're coming to us often saying they want help doing business around the world because they see that 95% of all consumer power is outside of the U.S. They're right, a little bit earlier. We think about the U.S., but all 95% of the consumers are outside of the U.S.
Oh, absolutely. Now, it's kind of interesting because I was kind of looking at some of the bullet points from your report, and it said two-thirds of U.S. exporters expect to increase overseas sales in the next 6 months. In fact, it seemed to be very, very bullish. And they also said two-thirds of U.S. respondents expected trade volumes to rise. Now, I've got on that side, and then I led this morning with some of the recent news that's out this morning about PMI slowing down around the world. China's PMI now is at 50, which, as you know, contraction starts below 50, and they're looking. I think France is at 50, Germany's at 50, and France is 47.5. And we seem to have slowing economies around the world. How is that going to impact this trade optimism that we're seeing from your report?
You're on top of this. You've been doing a lot of research. You're right. There is some slowing going on around the world. And you are correct. 60% of all businesses we surveyed expect to do more. So despite the slowing that we're seeing around the world, They see that strength. And back to your earlier question, international companies tend to grow faster and have better margins than companies that just do business within the U.S. So, yes, there will be some near-term challenges, especially as China slows down and the other BRIC countries continue to slow down. But we still see great opportunities in China and India, which are expected to grow 9% through 2030. And we'll continue to have strong ties to Canada and Mexico, which are our key trading partners.
Okay, so all right. So you like China and India. What are other areas that you like? I mean, for instance, what about the emerging markets that are so frequently discussed now? It would seem like there'd be great trade opportunities with those.
There are, counting China and India in those. Also, I would say Korea is another one we expect to overtake. So you look at our traditional trading partners, rounding out if you get past Mexico and Canada, you get down and you see that Japan and Germany were key trading partners for us before. Those will still be, but the growth in China and India will start to displace those. Also, Korea is another area that we're getting strong growth in. And then Brazil is also picking up. I know their economy's having a few problems, but they're still a key trading partner for us. And they have a very strong, they have a very large economy that's a little weaker right now.
Yeah, so you're actually looking to see, you're looking to get something from South America, Latin America, same way?
Yes, we are. And then also, if you look into the report, pharmaceuticals was a key part of what we found in there. Yes, machinery and industrial equipment is the largest exporter for the U.S., but with the great knowledge that we have of pharmaceuticals in the U.S. from the huge companies that we have and the industry leader and our more aging population, other countries need that. So we see ourselves passing Germany by 2030 as the number one exporter of pharmaceutical goods.
Wow. In fact, I was going to get into that the next segment. If you'll just stay with us, I've got a couple more questions to ask you. So we'll be back in just a moment, folks. Stay with us. You've got a great show.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We've got with us today, and I've only got him for about five more minutes, Derek Ragland, Executive Vice President, Head of U.S. Middle Market Corporate Banking for HSBC. And they've recently done a very comprehensive report about trade. And as you know, trade is a big thing. Most of the time you're guided by investment advisors to international companies that trade overseas because we are a global economy. Derek, I just want to get right to it. What are the areas, for an investor out there, if they were looking to invest in areas that might benefit from higher trade, what are the segments? I think you mentioned healthcare. Obviously, we are a healthcare leader. I was kind of surprised because healthcare is kind of expensive, and so I didn't know, I guess we're exporting drugs. But what are areas other than healthcare do you think will benefit from these better trade opportunities that are out there?
Yeah, and let me expand on the healthcare a little bit. It's beyond the drugs, it's the equipment. So it may be the hospital equipment, the care equipment, home healthcare equipment, all those kind of things also, which others don't have in other countries. So that's a big one. When we looked deeper into our report, we looked at Houston in particular. We had a made-for-trade event. We looked at energy. Mexico has changed its constitution for the first time in 75 years to allow outside foreign companies to help get their resources, oil and gas, out of the ground. So energy companies are going to benefit from that constitutional change to allow them to invest in it. Technology is another big one. We looked at San Francisco and their technology base. Not only are they exporting the knowledge associated with technology, but some goods, and it's easier to get those goods and services around the world, and they're certainly set up with great connections. And then we look deeper into Chicago, which a lot of people may not think of Chicago as a big trade location because there's no ports and not sitting right on the waterway there, the Atlantic or the Pacific, but it's the sixth largest export market in the U.S., really focusing on computer electronic products and chemicals as the key part of that, because there's still old line manufacturing within the Midwest, and those goods are shipped out to the coast and then shipped overseas.
Yeah, there's definitely old line manufacturing. There's no doubt about that. And then you mentioned something about a loan fund during the break. What were you talking about there? Something
we want to continue to support. We do. We want to continue to support international companies. And so we set aside, now it's up to $5 billion. We've seen such great demand. We started with $1 billion set aside a year and a half ago. We just added $3 billion to it. And so companies that want to do business overseas, we have a great website to help them do that, but we're also set aside loan funds. So it's normal credit criteria, but people that want to buy goods from overseas or sell goods overseas, we want to make sure we set aside the money to do that, because they need to plan probably a little more capital than normal. There's great returns, as we talked about before. But there's also a little extra challenges in planning that needs to be done.
Very quickly, this dip in oil prices, is that going to have a big impact on anything? How do you see that filtering out?
It's a short-term dip so far. We'll see how long it lasts. I think it could have an impact on it overall. But the good news is the U.S. has transformed not only from just a producer of the oil, but the knowledge around that. So a lot of the companies we deal with in Houston, for example, they're helping around the world get the oil out of the ground and get other energy products out of the ground. So export of knowledge, in addition to the physical commodity, is a big part. So, yes, it'll have an impact. We don't know how long it's going to stay down, but the companies are better positioned today than they were, let's say, 5, 10, 20 years ago if this had happened.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think they're going to be getting caught blindsided. One last question. Where can people go for more information?
We have a very comprehensive website, globalconnections.hsbc.com, with the information that I've discussed. But in addition to that, talks about different economies that you're asking about around the world, good economic data, and some good case studies of some great businesses that are benefiting by selling just beyond the U.S. border or sourcing their goods.
Okay, globalconnections.hsbc.com. Derek, I know you've got to run and probably do another interview, so thank you so much for being with us today.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.